This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Are you making a statement here, or are you asking me questions?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. What was that? Okay, so here we are. This is Sci-Fi and Scream. Under the Shadow. This is one of the night shift horror features at this year's Melbourne International Film Festival, obviously here in Melbourne. And then we have the following evening, Under the Shadow. It's an 11:30 p.m. session for that one. So that's probably perfect for those who do like to get a bit spooked. Mm-hmm. And perhaps more. And I have in the studio, I've got the man, one of the people behind it all, Babak.
Yep.
Babak Anvari.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer.
One of the producers.
Oh, one of the producers.
One of the three of us, Oliver Roskell.
Roskell?
Roskell, R-O-S-K-I-L-L.
R-O-S-K-I-L-L. Oh, like Mount Roskell.
Yes.
Which
is weird. I found actually there's a load of New Zealand, yeah. Because we're a very small family in the UK. It's a very rare name.
Yeah.
And actually then I found a picture of like a... of someone say Mount Roskill, and then there was a lawyer or someone. So there's a few of them out there.
Oh, wow.
Roskill. I mean, clearly, I think for New Zealanders, it was like for white New Zealanders, it was the youngest son of the family was expelled to go and live in New Zealand.
Really?
Well, I had a choice. Canada, America, New Zealand.
Which
the choice is obvious.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And hence we have Mount Roskell. So, Babak, this film, I've been very fortunate to see it. I am amazed.
Thank you.
In a good way, like really good. And look, it premiered, I believe, at the Sundance Film Festival too.
Yeah.
It's been quite a journey, isn't it? And now here you are in Melbourne.
I know. Yeah. Like you said, it's been such a great journey since the beginning of this year, really. And we finished it late last year, and then literally right after its completion, and we started.
It's kind of been non-stop, hasn't it?
Exactly.
Eight, 9 months, and
it's hopefully going to continue.
And it comes to its sort of conclusion as we then go into our sort of release, cinema release, and then digital release. With our buyers.
So let's talk about the film. Obviously, without spoiling too much for the listener, tell us a bit about what Under the Shadow is.
Yeah, sure. Basically, it's 80s Tehran, right during the Iran-Iraq war and straight after the Iranian Revolution. And it's during the period that Iraq started launching missile attacks on Tehran and the rest of the country and the whole of Iran. And it's about a mother and daughter who, father of the family, has gone off to war to serve. And they're like left alone in their apartment building, feeling isolated and as if living, under the pressure of war and political turmoil is not enough. They start to realize that their apartment block possibly could be haunted by an evil entity. It's basically a haunted house story, but in a very peculiar setting. And you can either see it as like a sort of metaphor for certain things, or like just watch it as like a ghost story, really.
You can't do that. You can do both.
Exactly. I mean, that was the aim from day one. Try to have a very character driven, layered story, but also entertaining.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it is. It does remind me of two films more recently, The Babadook and The First Conjuring a little bit.
Oh, nice.
But I guess it's because of that female-driven character who's so strong, absent father or partner, male partners, a child, a single child.
Yeah.
I mean, in The Conjuring, there's more of them, more children, but it's got that same sort of idea.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's been that type. I've been inspired by so many films. Like my source of inspiration is I always say the main one was early Polanski films, Repulsion, The Tenant, and Rosemary's Baby, and you know, they're all well in the Polanski series. Two of those films are female driven as well. Mm. It's interesting that you mention The Babadook, because that came out last year, and it has like a similar, I would say this is like the, in some ways, end up being the Iranian cousin of of The Babadook,
yeah.
without us intending to, because when we were in pre-production, that's when The Babadook came out, so it was like such a coincidence. Yeah.
That's a great film as well.
Yeah, it's an awesome film. Yeah.
Incredible. Oh yeah, there's some under the bed scenes, I think, that, you know, those sort of things.
Without giving it away, film without an under the bed.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who doesn't have that issue when they get out of bed? You know,
I know.
Trying to find the, you know, spotlight. What's or something, and bare feet touch the ground. So doing something like this, a project like this. This is your first full feature.
First feature film. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's pretty. Oh.
So how did I?
Stunning.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. You know. Thank you.
And, of course, Iranian. We can't sort of not talk about that. And a film previous to your one as an Iranian, you know. Of course, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are, like, loads of sort of films with a genre angle in Farsi language. Mm. I'm saying Girl Walks Home and now Under the Shadow, so... Hopefully this would start a trend.
Yeah.
It's nice to have like genre beats in the film, I think, was quite important because it's just, it does then make it slightly more appealing to the wider audience than being a straight foreign language film.
Drama. Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Now for the cast, I mean, when you did the casting call, how hard was it to find the right people for that?
It was, I mean, our number one goal was to find Farsi-speaking actors who speak Farsi fluently. And because of the nature of the film, we weren't sure, it wasn't easy to find cast in Iran. So our primary focus was the Iranian actors.
The whole world.
The whole world. People immigrated, like actors, talented actors who have immigrated from Iran and like now are based somewhere else. So we literally looked around the world, and the cast ended up being from the US, the UK, Germany, France, Italy. Like we literally went around and found like Farsi speakers across the world and brought them to
Jordan.
It's like
diaspora, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So many people.
But it's interesting because they... because Iranian cinema, you know, there's not that many films that are made in Farsi. When people find out that there is a film being made, they kind of almost naturally gravitate towards the film.
Yeah, films made in Farsi outside Iran. Yeah, exactly.
That's incredible. So, how many people were actually born in Iran? Were they all born in Iran?
Oh, they're all, almost all of them. Yeah, all of them were born in Iran, but they moved out of the country at some point in their lives.
Even the little girl, even Alvin.
Yeah, even Alvin, because she was a refugee living in London. And she's a non-actor. Like, this was the first time she acted ever.
She's incredible, I have to say. A little girl. How old was she when you did the filming?
Seven,
yeah. She almost, that was the funny story, she almost didn't actually make it into the film because when Babak saw her, because he saw about a dozen little girls, she walked in the door and goes, "That's Dorsa, that's who I want." And we were like, great. Mm-hmm. And because she's a refugee, she doesn't have a passport. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, we did the film in Jordan. So it meant traveling to Jordan without a passport, which was quite a challenge. So I think about 2 days before we were due to go to Jordan, we didn't have the visa paperwork or anything, so we had to get the Jordanian royal family involved.
So what is her status? She's a refugee.
They have a piece of paper that says you're allowed into the UK, but it means you can't really travel.
I think you can travel across Europe, but not anywhere outside the European zone.
Although, for another two years.
After Brexit, they probably can.
That's crazy.
But we got it in the end, obviously.
No, she's She's scary. She's great. She's great.
She's wonderful.
She really is amazing.
She's such a sharp child and very intelligent, very talented.
Well, I hope hopefully she'll be able to, if she wants to when she gets older,
get more into acting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope so, because she, you know, she has a raw talent that, like, you know, if anyone taps into, like,
Yeah, it's a real ride of a film, I have to say. If people are going to go and see it, be prepared to be surprised and at the same time really get emotionally connected to the characters, particularly. And I'm terrible at saying names that I'm not familiar with. Is it Shide?
Shide.
Yeah. She plays Najee. Is it Najee Rashidi?
Nargis Rashidi.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Nargis.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm a Kiwi, you know, we don't know anything else but English and Māori occasionally. But, yeah, like, phenomenal. So where is she located?
Well, at the moment she's based in LA, but she grew up in Germany. She left Iran when she was very young, like 6-7 years old. And she grew up in Germany, and she's done tons of work in Germany, like for German TV and feature films. And some roles in Hollywood films, but yeah, she relocated to America.
She splits her time between Germany.
Actually, she still works in Germany, so she flies back and forth between LA and Berlin. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. And of course, it's good to see Arash Mirandi. From Girl. Yeah, walks home alone at night. He's a bit of a star now.
He's awesome.
You think he's a sex symbol? He's probably the sex symbol now, isn't he?
He's an awesome guy. And it was an absolute pleasure to work with him, even though it was very short and sweet. But, you know, it's great to have him on board. Yeah.
Mm. And it's also great. You've got these great stories too. The mystery of it, and talking about jinns, of course, which I guess in the West most people know is the genie that gives you a wish.
Yeah.
You rub the lantern and he's
that's deceitful.
He's okay. No. He's okay. Or I dream of genie, you know?
Yeah.
Cute, but not so cute, actually, if you know anything about
the history of it and the mythology of it. Mm. Yeah, it's basically, jinn is more or less like demons in a Middle Eastern culture. Like, and, you know, every Middle Eastern country has its own take on it. Even in Iran, you know, certain parts of the country have different takes. But for me, ultimately, because it was set in Iran, it made total sense to use that as a mythology in the film. But ultimately, yeah, it's a very universal thing. You know, as soon as the audience realizes it's just some sort of evil supernatural entity, that's it. I think they get it. Every culture across the world has similar things. Yeah.
I think our one is like, we would call it a poltergeist.
A
malevolent force.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like demons from Bible, like, yeah, very very similar. Yeah.
Goblins type of thing, you know. It's interesting because you mentioned the wind, of course. You know, the wind is coming, and I guess the metaphor there too is the wind of change. And
that's a great way to interpret it.
Hopefully I'm on the right track. But for you, how do you know of any response and if it is going to be played in Iran itself?
I doubt it, because I don't think there's anything offensive in the film. But however, I think the Iranian authorities, they don't necessarily like films being made about Iran outside of Iran. I don't think it's going to get released in cinemas. But I'm hoping that I'm hoping Iranians get their hands on it, you know, some way or another.
Whichever way.
So it is a Netflix, is that right? Netflix were behind supporting the.
Well, yeah. Do you want to get into that?
Actually, we were very fortunate as a company to have a development fund, so we took on the project. We'd actually seen Babak's film 2 and 2. It's two
short
and two.
Film. Yeah,
I keep saying I think 2+D. No, it's 2 and 2, yeah. Which was a short film that he did, which was also a Farsi language film, which he was actually BAFTA nominated for, and it was brilliant. And we saw this. We then were passed on the script by his agent and saw something like really unique in his voice, and thus begun the road for us. And we then developed the project for 18 months. We got some early support from the Doha Film Institute, who gave us a grant, which was great. And then our sales team, which is XYZ Films, came on very early as well. I mean, I think they read it on a Friday and we had a deal on the Monday. I mean, they were like,
that
we love
excited,
this film.
Yeah.
So we then raised the finance, the rest of the finance, and we shot the film. And then we got into a competitive bid with the likes of Netflix, and they bought it just before Sundance.
Yeah. And that was great for us.
Yeah,
going
it's great
into
to be
Sundance.
Fought over.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, but we've got, you know, it comes out. It goes out with Netflix at the beginning of next year.
All right.
Worldwide, and but in the meantime, we have it being released in Australia and New Zealand by Rialto, and theatrically.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. It's important to say that.
Yeah.
And in the UK, it comes out in the UK on the 30th of September, and then a week later, it goes worldwide.
January?
Sorry, it goes worldwide theatrically on the various markets that we have.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is like Australia and America and New Zealand. And then it's 3 months later, it goes on to Netflix.
Cool. Right, that's a big thing. I don't know if anybody or either of you have seen Housebound by Jared Johnston.
I've heard a lot about it. I just haven't seen it.
Kind of similar, but probably a bit more... it's hard to explain.
Yeah,
a Kiwi director, but
yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
And working on such a limited budget as well, you really have to
be efficient.
Use some of the older style of techniques of suspense, and certainly you do that in the film very well.
Oh, thank you.
But there
you.
Is that one scene that really freaked me out.
Great.
Yeah. That was pretty
awesome.
Pretty gross, really. But without the blood, I mean, the whole film is not.
There's not a single.
Blood.
It's not schlocky horror.
It's not.
Suspense. We call it a psychological horror.
Yeah.
We
try to focus on the atmosphere, mostly than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
It
and
seems
the story,
like it's, yeah, it seems like it is a film about what happens when these sorts of political situations become so oppressive and difficult, and the stress that's created because, she's a single mum, basically. It seems to be, says to me, that kind of thing. And
yeah, I mean, I mean, as a filmmaker, I don't think I'm in a position to dictate to people how to see the film, how to interpret it. So, but it's up to the audience to interpret it however they want. But it's pretty exciting that, people seem to get engaged and, with the story and the characters and, have their own interpretations.
But he's been very clever. He's layered things in there. We get quite a lot of questions in the Q&A, and he will give exactly the response he's just given, which he'd never dictate anything. But then it's kind of like, if you watch it again, you'll start to see a lot of the questions we get asked, the answers are there.
In the film.
I'm going to the 11:30 session.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
On Saturday.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it on the big...
Yeah. I mean,
Saturday night.
I mean, there are some like Easter eggs or little clues in the film, like explaining certain things. But I try to be as subtle as I can, because I think it's more fun part of that to the audience to figure out.
I think it reminds me of The Exorcist. That same thing.
You have
to see those clues and okay.
It's good that you're going to watch it on the big screen, because actually one of the things I think that we love so much, certainly that came out when we did our first screening in the Egyptian Theatre at Sundance, was how atmospheric it is with the sound. Like when you go onto big speakers and you sort of, you hear, and there's the creak that goes through, that runs through. It's almost like its own character, actually.
Yeah.
I think it adds a layer of tension.
Exactly.
And especially if you're also with people who then, we had someone in New Zealand recently at NIF who stood up and screamed in the middle of
You pay them to do that?
We did, actually. Actually one of us.
I like that. Yeah, you don't have to do that for this film, trust me. People, make sure you do see it. It's called Under the Shadow. But look, what does happen next?
What does happen?
What are you? Are you working on anything?
Yeah,
now?
So started. I've just started working on my second feature. Started writing it. It's early days. Working with the same producers, Wigwam Films. Mm-hmm. It's more like a Hitchcockian thriller, cool. And there are a couple of other ideas that also developing, and you know, see how far it's going to go. So it's a very exciting time. Really. Mm. Yeah.
Favorite Hitchcock film then?
Favorite Hitchcock? I have a few, actually.
Yeah,
Psycho, definitely. Yep. Vertigo.
Yeah.
I can just keep going.
Yeah.
It's how I should
Strangers start. On the Train.
Strangers on the Train is awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
After all this time, it still hits.
Yeah. I love Hitchcock. Yeah.
Brilliant. Ooh, looking forward to that, though.
Oh,
That's excellent. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Baba Kanvari and Oscar Roskill.
No, Oliver Roskill.
I'm just thinking Oscar time, you know, when you guys get your nomination.
That would be great, yeah.
What do they call it? Foreign language speaking?
Foreign language film, I think.
Language film.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? We still have that, you know, foreign language thing. I mean...
Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
What difference does it make? It's exactly. A film.
Yeah.
I had one person who said to me once, I don't like those sort of films because I have to read. And I went, right, you're off the friendship list. Bye. Now, before I do, or maybe he kept it. No, here it is. I wonder if you could do a station or show ID tag, if that's okay.
Great.
Both of you? Oliver?
Together?
Together?
Yes, okay. Together.
So we introduce ourselves first?
Brilliant, yeah.
Hi, I'm... Hi, I'm Baba Kanvari, writer, director of Under the Shadow.
Hi, I'm Oliver Roskill, one of the producers of Under the Shadow.
And Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Is it
94.9?
94.9.
Okay. Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Oh, beautiful. Bravo. Great. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi-and-scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.